and to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Romance. Later on, from the Silver Theater from 1939. But first, it's the Hallmark Playhouse with an adaptation of the novel and subsequent film State Fair, a CBS broadcast from August 26, 1948.
Remember, a Hallmark card when you care enough to send the very best. From Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you an exciting dramatization of an unforgettable story on the Hallmark Playhouse. Tonight's story was chosen from the world of fiction by one of the world's best-known authors. Hallmark is proud to present the distinguished novelist, Mr. James Hilton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight on our Hallmark Playhouse, we present a dramatization of Phil Stong's excellent novel, State Fair. I suppose even its title alone will conjure up something of its flavor, for it is indeed the story of days that have an especially warm place in many Americans' hearts, those few days of the annual State Fair, which are looked forward to with excitement and remembered with affection. Almost a century ago, Mr. Stong's grandfather was one of the founders of the Iowa State Fair, so that state fairs, you might say, run in the family. Anyhow, the story we are presenting tonight handles this rich material with simple effectiveness, and Mr. Stong's characters might well be the next-door neighbors to millions of us living in America today. I suppose you could say, if you wanted to be funny, that the real hero of State Fair is a pig. But a pig is a very wonderful animal, especially with pork at its present price. So here now is our State Fair, a first-rate story with no message except that America is a pretty good country, and its state fairs are pretty good places to go to.
All right, all right. You take Virginia ham. Sure, it's famous, but it's made from ordinary razorback. Not like we have here in Iowa. You give a Hampshire hog the same opportunities a piece of Virginia razorback gets, and you'd have manna. Yes, sir, manna. Look at my blue boy. Now, there's a hog. There's a... Hi, Ira.
Hi, Abel.
How's the corn this year? Going to win a prize?
Thus held forth Abel Frake in the stock pavilion of the Des Moines State Fair. Abel Frake, farmer of Brunswick, Iowa, here at the fair with his great Hampshire hog, Blue Boy, to win a prize or forever hold his peace. With Abel were the three other Frakes, Margie, Wayne, and his competent wife, Melissa, who had made up her mind to win a prize for pickles. While Abel Frake was defending the good name of the Hampshire hog, his son Wayne was listening with scorn and grimness to a hard-faced concession barker who had taken him aside for some bitter and threatening talk.
You know what I'm talking about, all right? Ruining my business, crabbing the act. What's the big idea?
Listen, it isn't my fault all the stuff I won on your hoopla game was phony.
You made a fool out of me in front of that crowd.
Maybe. But I didn't make a crook out of you.
What's that you say?
You heard me.
You know I could go to the state fair board and have you put in jail for libel. Criminal libel. You'd spend the night in jail, at least.
Oh, would he now?
Hey, what's that?
My father's an inspector of detectives. And I say this young man wouldn't spend the night in jail. You would.
Hey, how did you get into this?
You just keep on asking fool questions. I'm looking for a policeman.
I can fight my own battle.
Hey, just a minute, little girl. The kid was ruining me. You were out there. You saw it.
Why don't you hire him to stay away from your game, then?
What?
$10 and he won't pitch any more hoops at your stand.
I won't take it.
He hasn't offered it yet.
And I won't.
But he will, sonny boy. He will. I live in here.
An auto trailer?
I live here with my father.
I've never been in a classy trailer like this.
You want a drink of anything from the refrigerator?
It's got a refrigerator?
It's got everything.
Well, where's your mother?
It hasn't got that.
Oh.
And you won't see much of my dad either.
It's a lucky thing for me. He's an inspector of detectives.
He inspects detectives to see if they're after him.
Hmm?
Mostly father plays the horses and runs a numbers racket.
Oh.
Is that bad for me? With you?
I never met anybody like you.
I bet you think my skirt's too short.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like me.
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, in that case, my name is Emily.
My name is Wayne Frake.
I liked you the minute I saw you.
Oh.
Was that all? Are you glad or don't you care?
Well, you see, I have a girl back in Brunswick.
Oh.
But I'm glad you like me.
Where do you live?
Tent City on Campers Hill, like all the fair visitors.
What's her name?
Who?
The girl back in Brunswick.
Eleanor.
While you're here, is your time your own? I mean, my father gets me into the horse races free. Want to come with me tomorrow afternoon?
Horse races?
Well, you don't have to bet I'll do that. You can just watch.
All right.
I've got 2 tickets for Blossom Time in Des Moines night after next. You can take me to that, too. Because we like each other.
We come now to Margie. For Sister Margie, the fair was so far a dreary matter. She wished heartily that her suitor, Harry, were here so she could at least quarrel with him. She was therefore in a correctly receptive mood when the young man seated himself beside her on the roller coaster, flashing a press card at the concessionaire. The press, the fourth estate, with hair like corn tassels, sitting beside Margie Frake and grinning at her smugly as the roller coaster started rolling.
Well, here we go. It's a coin of phrase. They say the first plunge of the so-and-so.
Oh, is it?
I can't get out now.
I didn't know it was high.
Here's where you find out firsthand.
Oh.
Ah, here we go.
Oh.
Hold on to me.
No.
I'm a great comfort in roller coasters. Yes.
Campers Hill.
I'll walk up with you, but don't go yet.
Oh, I've got to. I'm late for supper now.
Supper? You mean dinner.
Oh, well, we country people call the last meal supper.
Okay, supper.
I'm only a farm girl.
Well, I am a newspaper man. We are taught that time is short, space is costly, and talk is far from cheap. So I won't beat around the bush. You're beautiful.
Oh, no.
All right, then. You're pretty. Tomorrow, may I call you beautiful?
How do you know I'll even see you tomorrow?
You don't have to. I'll see you. I'll be looking for you, pretty girl.
Another morning, another day, and then tomorrow.
Tomorrow's when they judge Blue Boy, isn't it, Dad?
Tomorrow's when Ham really gets dignity. Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Blue Boy will win, I gravely hope.
Well, Ma's Pickles ought to get a ribbon or something today, anyhow.
What time?
4:00.
We all better be there. Your mother'll never forgive us.
Oh, I'll be there, all right. I might be a little late.
Huh?
Gonna have a look at the horse racing.
Horse race.
Well, just looking, Dad. No bets. Just looking is all.
Wayne, honey, I can't see over the crowd.
Just make your elbow stiff at your side. I'll lift you up, Emily.
For the whole race? I'm too heavy.
You? Stiffen your elbows.
I've got $10 on King's henchmen.
Ready?
Ready.
Up you go.
Oh, you're so strong.
You're a feather.
Oh! really, I must get up to the exhibition hall now.
But why must you?
I told you. Mother's pickles are being judged.
Oh, don't worry. They'll probably get over the light fine.
I've got to be there.
All right, I'll go with you.
Oh, no.
Why not?
Oh, I'll have an awful time explaining you.
Oh, why? Because of Harry, your Brunswick swain?
He happens to be very nice.
All right. Tell me, when do you think they'll have all those pickles sent?
About 4:00.
All right. See you at 4:01. Pretty girl. Hi.
Hi.
401 is stipulated on the front steps of the hall.
401, and so did Mother. Every ribbon in the hall, plus a bronze plaque.
401, and so did Mother. Ooh, you certainly are from the Iowa corn.
What's that?
Never mind. Come along, pretty gal. The day and the night are before us.
Up in a Ferris wheel at night like
that. They've got night navigation down to a science now.
Oh, it's so pretty up here. The lights below and the stars above.
The night is half a thousand eyes. Here, let me put my protecting arm around.
No.
The night it hath a thousand nays also. Are you having fun?
Oh, Pat, such a lot of fun.
Good, good.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, end of ride. Could we go someplace where it's quiet, private? Camper's Hill fills the bill. Margie, I want to know. Do you love this Harry back in Brunswick?
Oh, I don't think you ought to ask me that.
That's right. Harry is none of my business. But I am. So, do you love me, then?
Well, how would I know that after just 2 days?
I know it after just 2 days. I love you.
Oh, it takes me longer to find out. I haven't been in love as often as you have.
Margie, do you think this doesn't mean anything to me?
I just know you've been in love with other women.
Look, are you blaming me because there were other women?
I'm blaming myself because I was next.
I might have made love to them, but I never told them as I tell you. I love you.
Did you kiss the others?
Probably.
Oh. Pat. I want you to kiss me anyhow.
The best hog in the state. That means Blue Boy is the best hog in the United States. That means in the world. I'm the best hog raiser in the whole world.
In this awestruck manner did Abel Frake contemplate the honors that had been heaped upon his giant Hampshire hog that afternoon in the stock pavilion. Blue Boy was the most and the most exalted ham that had ever happened in the state of Iowa. And after his father's triumph, young Wayne, in blue jacket and white flannels, felt easier about going off that night with Emily, a dream in a boat-necked evening gown, to see blossom time in Des Moines.
Father isn't home as usual.
Well, Emily...
Oh, come in.
Come in?
Well, it's still early.
Well, all right. I want to tell you, Emily...
Yes, Wayne?
I want to tell you... I had one wonderful time at the show tonight. Please thank your dad for the tickets.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You were so beautiful in that gown... And me in my flannels. Why, a king would have felt out of place with you tonight.
You're sweet.
I just know I never felt so proud being with a girl.
What about Eleanor?
Well, she's different from you, Emily.
Yes, but is that good or bad for my side?
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I don't know about farms or pickling things or raising prize hogs.
Well?
Eleanor does.
Eleanor has to.
That's what I mean. She has to know those things to be worthy of being a farmer's wife. Girl, I mean. I'm just at a fair for farmers because of the gambling. Because of my dad.
Well, you go where your dad goes.
I've won $140 on the horses so far. I thought that's something you ought to know.
Why?
I think it's all right for the wrong girl to fall in love with the right boy. Just so he doesn't fall in love with her.
Emily, how do you know I'm not in love with you?
Are you?
Suppose I am.
That'd be wonderful for me, but awful for you.
You're the most beautiful, exciting thing I ever knew. And I'm going to kiss you.
A girl always appreciates fair warning. Well?
Well? Does this prove I love you?
That's nice. It's a nice note for saying goodbye.
Good night, you mean?
No. Goodbye.
Oh, no. Oh. Gee, what's the matter with you? Don't you love me?
I didn't say that.
Then you've got to marry me.
I love you, Wayne. But I wouldn't marry you for anything in the world.
Emily, please quit all this mysterious stuff and tell me what you're thinking.
I've loved you. Why? Because you were fine and straight and different and sweet. And because you deserved it. But can you imagine me on the farm milking the cows?
That's all you know about it. The hired hand milks the cows.
That is all I know about it. That's what I mean. A farmer's wife has to be useful, not ornamental. Oh, no, Wayne. The minute I saw you, I wanted you. But I knew I'd rather die than marry you. I'm afraid of what would happen to us.
It's a queer way to end something that's been so nice.
Wayne, your parents don't know about me, I'll bet.
No.
You see... Oh, Wayne, dear. You came to the state fair, and you found a girl who at least did you no harm. Let it go at that.
What'll become of you?
You'll find your kind. I'll find mine. We'll both be happy.
I hope so. I hope so.
I'm older than my age. I'm wise. Really, I'm wise. And I know. Goodbye, Wayne. It's been sweet.
Goodbye.
This way, you'll always love me. You'll love me, but you'll be happier with somebody else. If that seems sinful, blame it on a girl you met at the state fair long ago. I won't mind, dear. I won't mind.
Hurrah for industrial buildings, I always say.
I haven't seen the exhibit from the Des Moines Register.
Let me understand you. You want to see a newspaper exhibit?
Yes.
Why?
Well, there's some wonderful linograph machines to look at, for one thing.
Linograph?
No.
Type. Linotype.
Oh, well, I'd like to see them.
Margie, I'd love for you to see them, but most of the boys in there know me. What I mean to say is that...
No, Pat, wait a minute. You said what you meant to say.
No, no, Margie.
You don't want them to see the city sophisticate with a country girl.
Margie, I'd rather be seen with you than with anybody else in this world. But not until you promise me one thing.
What is it?
Promise you'll marry me.
Marry you?
Tomorrow. Tonight, as soon as I can scare up the county clerk. Huh?
Well, what's marrying you got to do with it?
Well, just this. It never does a girl much good to be seen with me by those hard-boiled newspapermen. They know my, well, my reputation with women, and they'd make some fast, hard judgment about you.
Oh. You want to make a good woman of me in advance?
That's no way to put it.
Pat, we'd better sit down on Camper's Hill and talk about this.
Well, nothing to talk about. All you have to do is say yes. Come on, though. Camper's Hill will fill the bill. There. Comfortable?
Comfortable.
Cold?
Comfortable.
The night it hath a thousand eyes. I hope for the thousand and first eye tonight. Say me not nay, Margie, huh?
Pat, have you thought that if I marry you, I'll tie you to a town you won't like, and to one woman all your life? Because I wouldn't stand for other women. And you'll hate Brunswick, and I wouldn't like the city, I know it. And you'd like other women, you can't help it.
But I'd love you.
You'd get tired of my qualities. I can run a house, and I understand a farm, and I love the life. I'd want four or five children, and they'd grow up to bring more land into the family.
Margie, whose children?
Why, I suppose Harry's.
Oh, Marge, you don't love that farmer, do you?
I know that he loves me, and that I love his kind of life. I'd never have to be afraid of anyone else. He'd always love me because I'm right for him. Maybe that's what perfect love is, after all. Being exactly right for someone.
I won't give you up, Margie. I love you.
Don't, Pat. Let me go.
I love you. I want you.
No, Pat. No.
I'm sorry. You don't think you could ever be happy with me?
No.
You may be right.
I am right.
I'll walk you up the hill. Your tent.
No. No, I'd rather finish the episode alone, Pat.
Farm girl.
That's right. Now and forever.
The girls in Des Moines are yokels next to you.
Goodbye, Pat.
Goodbye, pretty girl.
Nice fair while it lasted, Marge.
Yes.
Our family took away practically all the prizes.
Practically all?
You say that funny.
Oh, I didn't mean anything.
You, stayed out pretty late these last few nights at the fair.
So did you.
Who did you meet?
Who did you?
Look at it this way. We came to the state fair and met somebody who at least did us no harm. Let it go at that.
Did us no harm and maybe did us a lot of good.
Maybe?
Oh, it's going to be good to get back to the farm.
Until the next state fair.
Now here again is James Hilton.
Before I tell you about next week's story, I think you should know who the very fine performers were in our cast tonight. They were Barbara Eiler, Barbara Fuller, Sam Edwards, Tony Barrett, Earl Ross, and Peter Leeds. Next week we shall present on our Hallmark Playhouse To Mary with Love by Richard Sherman. It's a tale of faith, romance, and loyalty set against the colorful background of New York City in the 1920s. And the week after that, we shall have a grand story by one of America's finest storytellers, Cimarron, by Edna Ferber. And as a special treat, we shall also have as our guest on the Hallmark Playhouse, Miss Irene Dunne. So plan to be listening these Thursday nights. Oh, and just one more thing. Remember, when you are driving, ladies and gentlemen, do drive carefully. The life you save may be your own. And so until next week at this time, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Tonight's story was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger. Our music was arranged and conducted by Lynn Murray. Look for Hallmark cards that are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember, Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Now, this is Frank Goss saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time when James Hilton returns to present To Mary with Love. This program came to you from the Hallmark Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is KNBC, Kansas City, Missouri. Earl Smith on the news after this announcement.
The Hallmark Playhouse, untuned to yesterday from the 26th of August, 1948 on CBS, an adaptation of the 1945 motion picture State Fair, which would end up winning an Oscar for Best Music and Original Song for the Rodgers and Hammerstein tune It Might As Well Be Spring. This is an hour of romance untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now on to the Silver Theater with a broadcast called It May Be Forever, heard on CBS on February 5th, 1939.
International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Loretta Young in It May Be Forever, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel welcoming you to the 19th of the new series of Silver Theater Dramatic Productions. Before the curtain rises on today's drama, I want to take just a moment to tell you that next Sunday we shall welcome John Garfield and Andrea Leeds to our Silver Theater. And stories are already being chosen for such splendid performers as Lee Tracy, Shirley Ross, and many others who promise to appear on our stage in the very near future. And now the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain is rising on the first act of It May Be Forever, an original drama by True Boardman, starring Loretta Young as Laura Blaine, with John Heaston as Eric Manson. It is New Year's Day, 1937, in Pasadena, scene of the Tournament of Roses, and in the Blaine home on Orange Grove Avenue.
Well, Happy New Year, Laura. I thought you were going to sleep through the whole parade.
Oh, Happy New Year, Ellen. Hey, turn that radio off, will you?
Radio? That's not the radio. He's broadcasting.
Who is?
Some young man from out there on the balcony. Some chap named Eric Manson. A network commentator, they call him. He asked your aunt if he might use our balcony as an observation point.
And Aunt Martha let him?
Yes, of course.
Ellen, hand me my housecoat and my slippers.
Yes, but...
Do you realize what this means? Something actually exciting is going on in this house. Why, Ellen, that hasn't happened since I had the mumps.
Laura, wait, you shouldn't go out there. The Manson, I'll see.
In the parade, and I'd say it was a definite contender for the Grand Sweepstakes prize. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since there are no other floats passing here before me at the moment, I'll transfer control from here over to Bill Goodman, who is at the judge's reviewing stand. Take it away, reviewing stand. Tell me, quickly, who are you?
Me? Are you off the air?
Yes.
I'm Laura Blaine. I live here. And why did you lie just now? No floats in front of us. Look, there's Glendale, there's San Francisco.
Never mind that. Don't you know you shouldn't do that?
Do what?
Just appear like that, out of nowhere. Oh. You heard what happened. I just froze up. And because of you.
That's a little crazy, Mr. Manson.
You're right. It is crazy. Be ready at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
The Rose Bowl game. You're going to it with me.
Oh, am I?
Yes, and then to dinner, and after that, we're
Eric,
going to...
Bill's signing it back to you. Watch it. There's a cue.
Wait. Again, this is Eric Manson speaking to you from our Orange Grove Avenue vantage point. This occasion today is the most astounding your commentator has ever experienced. If you've ever come suddenly on wonder, on beauty, unawares, you'd know how I feel just at this moment. It's as though I'd waited all my life for just this sight. Of course, I'm speaking of the floats in this, the finest of all countries. The Lausanne Conference, the Tsar plebiscite, finally down to Africa for the Ethiopian War. As a matter of fact, I might still be a newspaper correspondent if it hadn't been for...
Hey, wait a minute. Do you realize that this autobiography of mine has been going on for hours?
Has it? I didn't know. You see, I'm a horizon hunter, too. Way down inside, I mean. But being raised by a doting aunt hasn't given me much chance to work at it. Go on.
Maybe you'd rather dance.
Dance? Why, how could we? We went to see the Rose Bowl game, and we didn't watch it. We went for cocktails, and we didn't drink. We went for dinner, and we didn't eat. So how could we be so inconsistent as to think of dancing at a dance? And besides, you can't leave yourself in Ethiopia. Now, where did that dashing young foreign correspondent go from there?
I guess I have been selling Eric Manson pretty strong. You know why, don't you?
I think so.
I didn't believe it, Laura, that it could really happen quite like this outside of books. But it has. I knew it when you stepped out on that balcony this morning. It's journey's end for me, Laura. Can you believe that?
Perhaps it's journey's end for me, too.
Oh, Laura.
But let's not say so, Eric. Not yet. Not either of us. Oh, don't you see? What is it Juliet says? This is too rash, too ill-advised. And it is, Eric. Why, it's only hours ago that we met.
What does that matter? If we know
but
that...
But do we know, Eric? Are we sure it's not just holiday? New Year's, the parade, the crowds, the bands playing in the streets. Besides, it's got to be so much more than that for me.
But Laura...
Eric, I've never said I love you to any man. And when I do, it's got to be forever. Oh, please, Eric, let's wait until we're sure. Both of us so terribly, terribly sure. He's gone, Ellen. Gone, do you understand? Back to New York 2 days ago without even a goodbye. Gosh, it actually lasted a week. A whole week, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, Laura, you mustn't...
Let's not talk about it, Ellen.
Laura, where are you going?
I'm going upstairs and I...
Hello, Laura.
Eric. Eric, it is you.
Your aunt said I'd find you in here.
Eric, where were you? They told me at your hotel...
Had I gone east? I had, but I flew both ways.
Why? Why did you go without telling me?
There was something to be settled, Laura, and now it is. The network's sending me to Paris as a European representative. It's a job that means covering the whole continent, special events, shortwave pickups, personal contact with all the men who are making history.
Oh, Eric, how wonderful for you.
For me? Oh, my darling, for us.
For us?
You told me once you wanted to chase horizons. Why, Laura, my sweet, I'll show you the Bridge of Sighs in Venice, the Red Square of Moscow, and the Parthenon in Athens all in a single week. Horizons, I'm going to gather them up for you by the fistful.
Are you, my darling?
Oh, Laura, I love you. Oh. I love you so much. Will you marry me and come with me?
Will I? You would have a hard time stopping me, Mr. Manson. In fact, I... Oh.
Laura, what is it? Tell me.
Oh, it's nothing, darling, really. Nothing, Eric.
But you're crying, darling.
Am I? Silly, isn't it? To be so happy that you cry, I mean. Look, Eric, will you go now, please? Don't ask me why. Just go.
But, Laura...
Go on, please. I want you to. Hell, darling.
All right. Good night, Laura.
Ellen! Ellen!
Yes, dear? Laura!
Ellen.
Laura.
Condition known as myocarditis. In other words, Laura, you have one of those hearts that may keep going until you're 95, or, well, it may just decide to fold up tomorrow.
I see, Doctor.
However, you're reasonably safe if you're careful, but at all costs, you must avoid undue excitement.
Travel. Would that come under the head of what you mean by excitement?
Especially travel. It's definitely too exciting for that heart.
Oh. Doctor, there's just one other thing. What about marriage and children?
Laura, for you to even think of having a child would be the next thing to planning outright suicide. I'm sorry.
Well, I wanted frankness. I guess I got it.
But, Eric, how could you take me seriously?
Oh, it's so absurd. Love at first sight, a whirlwind courtship. Young radio commentator sweeping Pasadena girl off her feet. Oh, I never dreamed it was anything but a joke between us.
A joke?
Oh, Eric, be sensible. It's funny. You must see it that way.
Yeah, I guess I'm the one that's wrong. Maybe my sense of humor is out of joint or something. But I'm glad you've enjoyed yourself. Do you mind if I go now?
Why, no, not at all. Goodbye, Eric. It has been great fun. I'll look for you when there's another tournament parade.
Thanks. That'll be swell. Goodbye.
Why, my darling. My dearest darling.
So it's been great fun, has it?
Eric, you...
Came back? Of course I came back. Do you think that I believed you, that I could believe you?
Oh, Eric.
Laura, look at me. Now tell me that you don't love me. I thought so. Tell me the truth. Why were you sending me away?
It's no use, Eric. Just take my word for it, please.
Tell me, Laura.
All right, Eric. It just happens that I've got a funny kind of heart. A heart that doesn't go with the bridge's size, the Red Square, and the Parthenon. It's a sit-at-home kind of heart, darling. Not at all the kind to be married to Eric Manson.
Why, you crazy little fool. You thought that mattered? We'll forget the Europe job. I'll stay out here. I'll have them transfer me. Or if they won't, I'll quit and take a local station
job. No, you can't stay here, Eric. You're not a local station man.
I'm staying here.
And there's something else, Eric. If we were married, the doctor says that having children...
We'll adopt a family. You're going to marry me, Laura Blaine, and there's nothing you could say or do to stop it.
All right, Eric. I will. But on one condition.
What's that?
That we go to Paris just as though we'd never talked of this at all. My heart, I mean.
But, Laura...
Now, listen to me, darling. I want to finish. I want it this way. Well, what kind of happiness could there be for me in keeping you from the work you should do? I couldn't, Eric. But if we can do that work together, darling, for however long the stars decide, that's all I ask. It may be a month or it may be forever. But we will be living, Eric. And for each other.
I can't, Laura. I can't let you take the risk.
And I can't marry you without it. It's a gamble, yes, darling, but it's our own private gamble together. Whether we win or lose, it can't be any other way. You and I and those far horizons, Eric. Promise me. Promise me, and I'll marry you today.
3 months have passed. Eric and Laura are married and in Paris. Reluctantly fulfilling the promise which was the condition of their marriage, Eric has accepted the European post. But this far at least, Eric's fears for the possible danger to Laura of excitement have been groundless, for he's had no assignment of any sort. And then, on an afternoon early in April...
Laura, it's happened.
Darling, what? What's happened?
An assignment, Mrs. Manson, a definite assignment.
Darling!
In Venice, there's a French-Italian conference, and the man who's going to send the account of it shortwave to the good old USA is none other than Eric Q. Manson, Esquire.
Venice? But that's wonderful. When do we leave?
Why, we. Now, wait a minute. There's no need for you to go. It's too dangerous for you to...
Eric, I'm going to Venice.
But we...
The Bridge of Sighs. Remember, you promised to show it to me.
I'll only be a week.
I'm going, Eric. It's all decided.
But, Laura...
Eric.
All right. We leave in the morning.
Oh, darling, it's so exciting. So exciting.
You're reasonably safe if you're careful, Laura. But any undue excitement is dangerous.
No.
Darling, Laura, what's wrong? You...
Wrong? Why, nothing's wrong. We're going to Italy, to Venice and the Bridge of Sighs. Come on, darling, let's pack.
Your Venice broadcast enthusiastic. Darling, that's the most wonderful cable I ever read. And your first real job over here. I'm so proud of you, Eric.
And look at that list of future assignments. The trade conference in Berlin, the treason trial in Moscow, the awarding of the Nobel Prize in Stockholm. And that's just the beginning. Why, we'll be traveling all over the world. Laura, I forgot. Are you sure you're up to it?
Of course I am, Eric. I'm beginning to thrive on travel.
Especially travel, Laura. Definitely too exciting for that heart.
I will go.
If you're not sure, you could stay here in Venice or go down to Florence.
I won't stay anywhere, Eric, but with you. When do we start for Berlin? Tell have you been? You almost missed the train.
I know. Are you sure this is the right one?
Of course I am.
Signor, c'è questo il rapido por Berlin.
Sì, but signor. Sì, signor. Il Berlin rapido. Sì, sì.
Moscow Air Express. Ja, mein Herr.
There are two of us, Mrs. Manson and myself.
Ja, sehr gut. Take your places, please, Frau Manson and Herr Manson. The plane leaves at once. Come, sir.
Why, it's no bigger than a ferry boat at home. And the people. Oh, Eric, I'm going to love Sweden.
What about me with a name like Eric?
Manson, Stockholm. Proceed, join staff, Vienna. If Schuschnigg meets Hitler, Berchtesgaden, statement from either or both of vital importance. Signed, Thompson, New York.
Vienna, darling. It's the biggest thing yet. But there's no telling what may happen in Austria within the next 3 weeks.
You're right. And you better start right away, Eric. This afternoon.
I'd better start.
Uh-huh.
You're coming with me.
I can't. Not this time.
You can't. Laura, you're all right.
All right? Well, I'm twice all right. It's just that, well, Ellen's arriving at Schoenberger Thursday, and I have to meet her.
Ellen? Your old nurse? But why is she...
Oh, I just got lonesome for her, that's all. Now you go on to Vienna. And I'll have my ear glued to that radio for every broadcast you send through. Go on, darling. Couldn't you maybe have guessed why I sent for you, Ellen? After all, I'm a pretty big girl to have needed a nurse. That is, for myself.
Laura!
Oh, it won't be for ages yet. But I felt I'd like to have you here. Ellen, let's turn on the radio. Eric might...
Laura, what about... I understood...
My heart? My heart's going to have to make the best of it, that's all. It happens that I have a husband who needs a son.
Final address to the people of Austria. Unnumbered thousands listen to this mixed
Mary,
emotions.
He's on the air. From Vienna.
Repeated his speech with these words. We bow to superior force, and may God save Austria. Ladies and gentlemen, with that statement, Austria, as an independent nation, passed, perhaps forever, out of the swiftly moving parade of history. Believe me, it was the most dramatic moment your commentator has ever known. Perhaps the most dramatic he will ever know. And now we conclude this special broadcast and return you to your regular program. Eric Manson speaking.
Does he know yet?
Eric? Oh, no, I haven't told him. He worries so.
Perhaps the most dramatic moment he will ever know. I wonder.
Mr. Manson?
Hmm?
Maybe I exaggerated when I said I'd gotten to be the champion walker in Paris. I could go for a rest. Would you like to boost a lady up on that wall there?
Sure. Careful now. Up you go.
Thanks. This is pretty all right, you know that? Paris at summer's end. The Manson family perched on a cobbled wall of the left bank, looking over at Notre Dame, sending her spires up to the sky. Gosh, listen to me. I sound like you doing a broadcast. Eric.
Hmm?
Please don't worry so. You've got to get used to the idea. You see, Manson's a pretty good name, and after all, we ought to do our part to keep it going.
We agreed that we'd adopt our family.
Oh, sweetheart, you mustn't feel like this. It was meant to be. It's a gamble, sure it is, just like all the rest has been, but this one's the swellest gamble of them all. Oh, you must see that.
Yes, I see it.
And, darling, you're not afraid. I want you to tell me so. Please, Eric.
I'm not afraid.
My dearest.
Oh, Laura. Laura, my darling.
But the result of this momentous conference is expected at any moment. Meanwhile, this is Eric Manson returning you to your regular network program.
That was Eric. Did you hear him, Doctor?
You must be quiet, Madame Manson, please.
I will.
As for your husband, he should be informed if broadcast or no.
No, no, please, Doctor. He's in Munich. You heard him. That's the four-power conference there he's covering. And peace or war will come out of that meeting. And the whole world's waiting to hear which. It's important what Eric's doing. It's terribly important, Doctor.
Where he belongs is here with you. Let somebody else tell America what's happening to Czechoslovakia.
Shh, Ellen.
He should be here.
Ellen, he would be here. But I lied to him. I told him it was at least 2 weeks yet. And besides, it's better this way. He'll come back and it'll be over. Oh, please, Doctor, let it be this way.
As you will, madame.
Thank you. I can stay here a while longer, can't I? There may be more reports.
Bien. A while longer, madame. But you will find that soon that sedative will take effect. And, madame, before it does, may one who is just a doctor salute you as a truly valiant woman.
Oh, no, doctor. You see, I just happen to love somebody. And there's nothing valiant about that. Ellen. The doctor gone?
Yes. But he'll be back.
Eric should be there, Ellen, doing his job. He'd be so desperately worried if he were here.
Yes, Laura.
Ellen, hold my hand, will you?
Laura, child.
A poem. Did you ever know that he wrote a poem for me? That means he loves me, doesn't it? Eric writing poetry.
Yes, dear.
You never heard that poem, Ellen. It went like this. There is beauty in the very thought of you, my dear, and music in the echo of your laughter. My life is more than life when you are near. And when you leave, my universe goes after. Eric wrote that, Ellen. My Eric. It's lovely. Ellen, is it getting dark?
Yes, Laura.
Eric. Eric.
It's journey's end for me, Laura. Can you believe that? You might live to be 100, and on the other hand, perhaps... Horizons, Laura. I'll gather horizons for you by the fistful. For you to have a child is the same as suicide, Laura. I'm not afraid, Laura. I'm not afraid.
Not yet.
I'm not afraid, Laura. I'm... Laura. Laura, baby.
And the situation can be summed up, all of it, in the one word, peace. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the four-power pact signed here less than a half hour ago, the greatest threat to the peace of Europe since August 1914 has been averted. From this crisis, at least, there will be no war. But now we transfer control to London, England, for first-hand reports of the reaction to this latest news in London. Eric Manson speaking, taking you now to London.
Well, it's over, Jerry. Do you realize that? Probably the biggest assignment...
Hey, Manson.
Yes?
A telegram for you, sir. From Paris.
Paris?
Yeah.
Paris. Give it to me. Dear God in heaven. I should have been here.
Oh, you're not a very good influence as a parent, Mr. Manson. All the books say that a father must never cry in front of his own child.
Oh, Laura, darling.
Hey, will you forget me for a minute and look at him? You haven't told me what you think of him. He's real, Eric, and he's ours, and all in one piece. Can't you realize what that means?
Sure I can.
And you know what? I had the doctor listen to his heart, and he's got a swell one. The kind that goes on for 90 years, just like... Eric. Eric, I just thought, I don't like the name Laura very much.
You don't like the name Laura, but he's...
Yes, I know, darling. I'm talking about his sister. Of course, that's a year or two away, and we have plenty of time to think about a name, but just the same, you've got to anticipate things like that, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Conrad Nagel bringing you a step-by-step account of lovely Loretta Young's progress to the microphone in the center of the stage. From our vantage point, we can see 14 strong men being revived from the swoons into which they fell when Miss Young first stepped from behind the curtain. Take it away, Loretta Young.
Hello. Take it away, Conrad Nagel.
No, no, you don't. You're supposed to talk. Take it away, Loretta Young.
All right, Conrad. First, I want to thank John Heaston for his beautiful job as Eric Manson. And I want to thank International Silver for their beautiful job of Love Lace Pattern. Finally, I'd like to ask if I may come back to Silver Theater sometime. May I, Conrad?
May you come back. You want proof?
Well, I...
Take it away, audience.
Next week, Silver Theater presents Andrea Leeds and John Garfield in an original story by two of America's foremost screenwriters, Gene Towne and Graham Baker. Conrad Nagel will direct, and of course, there'll be more original music scored and conducted by Felix Mills. In the meantime, if you want solid silver, you want International Sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company.
The Silver Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of February, 1939 on CBS. Wrapping up this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.